Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Self-esteem. We're going to address inferiority and self-esteem. on it on last Monday. Today, we want to bring a completion to some things that I know that there are many people all over the United States of America are dealing with, whether they're young or they're old, and we want to be able to address it. We're going to today, we're going to talk about the Bible and self-esteem, which is going to come from Dr. Gloria Castor. Then we're going to talk about preventing inferiority and low self-esteem, which would come from Dr. June Normill. And I will talk about the effects of inferiority and low self-esteem. And I want you to know today that God is in his plan, and it is for you that you can grow, mature, and that some things that you're going through, some things maybe even from a teenager that you've been going through. When we talk about inferiority, we talk about those people that have low self-esteem. Sometimes it's an intense feeling of insecurity. When we talk about low self-esteem, it's resulting from various factors. It could come from your physical appearance. It could come from your weight, socioeconomic stature, or peer pressure, or being bullied. But we want to get into that, and we want you to listen. And why don't you call a friend, call a neighbor, and tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. We want to be able to introduce to you Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. June Normill, and myself, your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. But first, we're going to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, God. We magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done and all, God, you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word, how we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, God, have your way in a day and a time, God, where people, Lord God, are turning their backs upon you in apostasy, in a day and a time, God, that people don't really have lifted up your name in the way, God, that it should be lifted up and exalted. In a time, God, there are people that are suffering, Father God, from things that have happened in their lives, things, God, that they need help. God, whether it's anger, whether it's abuse, Lord God, whether even what we're talking about on today, inferiority and self-esteem. And Lord, even as we go before the people today, we ask you, God, to cause healing to be manifested in their minds, in their bodies, in their soul, in their spirit, that they can go on, that they can know, God, that you're with them, and God, that you will never forsake them. And for this, God, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and God, we thank you. At this time, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to have Dr. Gloria Castor. She's going to come to us, and she's going to tell us what the Bible says about Lord's, about self-esteem. At this time, let's hear from Dr. Gloria Castor.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and radio panel and our radio audience. I'm just so honored and privileged to be here today to finish up my topic on the Bible and self-esteem. Now, I did talk last week on the biblical teaching about human worth and the biblical teaching about human sin. And today I want to touch on the biblical teaching about pride and the biblical teaching about self-love. Amen. Now, I many years ago, a European psychologist, Alfred Adler, stated that everyone has feelings of inferiority. Often the feelings stimulate from a healthy response in us, but more often, instead of actions and achievement, these feelings of inferiority become so overwhelming that they cause us to withdraw from others and develop an inferiority complex. Now, when we look at the Bible and about pride, we know that the book of Proverbs said that pride comes before a fall. So some Christians who emphasize human depravity argue that self-esteem is a form of pride. Since pride is greatly abhorred by God, these believers assume that self-condemnation and inferiority are attitudes that keep us humble. Pride is characterized as an exaggerated desire to win the notice or praise of others. In an arrogant, haughty estimation of oneself in relation to others, it involves the taking of a superior position that largely disregards the concern, opinions, and desires of other people. In essence, it is an attempt to claim for oneself the glory that rightly belongs to God. And we know we see that sometimes. And whenever we do something that we feel that is going to edify and magnify the body of Christ, God used us as the example, as the person that could bring that to the church or the audience, but God gets the glory. That we have everything that we have belong to him, including ourselves. So in contrast, humility is characterized by accurate self-appraisal, responsiveness to the opinions of others, and a willingness to give praise to others before claiming it for oneself. The humble person accepts his or her imperfection, sin, and failures, but also acknowledges the gifts, ability, and achievements that have come from God. Humility is not a self-negation or the rejection of all of our God-given strengths and ability. Humility involves a grateful dependence on God and a realistic appraisal of both our strength and weakness. Amen? The Apostle Paul, for example, was deeply aware of his sinful past and continuing imperfection, but he also recognized his considerable achievements. He recognized that he had been redeemed and greatly used by God. And we know that Paul was one who persecuted the Christians at one time. But when he met God on Damascus Road, his life was changed, and he was gung-ho to do what he needed to do, what he knew that he was set up to do for God. So he was a realistic self-image. It is characterized not by pride, but by a humble evaluation of what God had done and was doing through him. Self-esteem, a realistic self-appraisal, and humility go together. Amen. Now, the biblical teaching about self-love is the Bible assumes that we will love ourselves. This conclusion is difficult for some Christians to accept because they evaluate self-love with an attitude of superiority, stubborn self-will, or self-centered pride. Self-love, however, is not an erratic or eclipsed self-admiration. Self-love means to see ourselves as a sinner who have been saved by grace. People are created, valuable, and loved by God, gifted members of the body of Christ. And if we are Christians and bearers of the divine image, we can love ourselves because God loves us. And we do not deny the abilities and opportunities that God has given us. This biblical view of self-love must become the basis of self-esteem. And when you come to the fact to know that you're created in God's image, that God loves you, because you know he loves you because the Bible states that in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, he sent his very best. He sent his only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it is our belief that God loves us. It is our belief that God wants us to love ourselves. You have to love yourself, not in the way of pride, but to love yourself so that you know you can reach out and hand that love over to someone else. My belief is that when we become a born-again Christian, believers by the grace of Jesus Christ, we are new creatures. We are created in the image of God. We are children, heirs, and co-heirs to the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. We are not worried about our own actions or device, but we are filled with Christ and the Holy Spirit of the one and true living God and are made worthy of his righteousness. Amen. We must accept ourselves as children of God. And it says if we are children, it goes back to say that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So when we come to, when we accept ourselves as the children of God who are lovable, valuable, and capable, we are loved by him, we are valued by him, and we are capable. So he has, we can't say because one person does a certain thing, then we're not qualified to do it. Each one of us, God has, we have our own temperament, but yet those temperaments all come together to create the body of Christ. Because your temperament is one thing and the way you think is another. It does not say that God doesn't love you and he throws you aside because you're not maybe so educated like someone else. Education with God, he loves you no matter what. What education you got, no matter who you are, black, white, what, it doesn't matter. He loves you, and he feels that you're valuable and capable. And when Jesus Christ became the center of our lives, we gave up the belief that we are the center of the, we gave up the belief that we are the center of the universe. We are in need of God's forgiveness and redemption. Amen. I am a child of God, and I will strive to be all that will please him. We set out to please him. As Christians, my attitude has changed from I am good, great, wise, strong, to I am created of the Most High God. I am created in his image. I am a redeemed sinner. God created his entire world, that all of its beauty and abundance for me and others who love him. God wants me to prosper. As long as I have him foremost in my heart, mind, and spirit, I am privileged by his favor. So if I'm privileged by God's favor, as long as I walk in obedience and fulfill his purpose and has accepted his son, I am privileged by his favor. Likewise, as a Christian, my attitude must change from I am bad, worthless, ignorant, weak, and in nothing, to I am created of the Most High God. And we have to remember that. And many times parents label their children by saying, you're ignorant, you're weak, you're nothing. Yes, they are something, because they are created in his image. And when you are a redeemed sinner. Christ created his entire world with all of its beauty and abundance for me and others who love him. God wants me to prosper, as I said, as long as I have him foremost. The most, I must understand that I can either believe the world and the devil who says that I am worthless, or I can believe God's holy wisdom and know that I am loved by the Creator of all that is. I can either believe what the father of lies tell me, or I can believe what the Almighty God, our Father in heaven, tells me in his holy word. Amen. Now, I want to tell you that when you're strong and when you love God and when you walk in God's word and you study his word, then you can better know and your self-esteem will be built up. You need to use, I mean, many times we read different books, different magazines, but each day you should let the Bible become a part, just like you put on your daily clothes every day. You need to clothe yourself with the word of God. Before you even leave out your house, all through the day, you need to lift him up in prayer, asking him for the wisdom and knowledge to give you to get through that day so that you will be successful and succeed in whatever you set out to do. God's will and purpose is that you walk in the abundance of what he already set for you. And, God has also created us, when he created us in his image, and we look at Solomon, how God just, I mean, he was a blessed man of God. But we have to realize, just like he blessed Solomon, just like he blessed those in the Bible, the same thing is for us. It's nothing different. We have to remember that our thoughts and our minds, and we can say, let this mind be in us, which also was in Christ Jesus. And we have to repeat the word of God over our left. Romans 12:1, it tells us that we must make sure that we have God's mind. Let the mind be in us. Let God, our thoughts be in as God guide us through. And we must realize, too, that we must put on the full armor of God. And when we have that armor on, we will know that we are in God's presence. We will know that God will take care of us. And as long as we lift up his name and make sure that we study his word and walk in obedience, we should not have low self-esteem, because he will build us up. Even when we feel down, we can put on the garment of praise and praise God. Amen. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Castor. We thank God that we've learned today about what the Bible says about low self-esteem. And Dr. Castor addressed the topic on pride. And so as she gave us some understanding and revelation to those that sometimes the enemy try to make you feel less than, sometimes that the enemy will cause a person to walk in pride, but yet the Lord God will show an individual, because nothing we do, nothing we say, nothing that we can't ever do that can put ourselves before God. But the Word of God tells us, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we thank God that he is the one that gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So you don't have to feel less than. You don't have to try to be better than anybody else. You can just be yourself and what God has called you to be. And you have to think not less of yourself, but think of yourself as that person that God wanted to dwell in, to walk in, and talk in. So here we today, we're stretching you. We're giving you something that you can think about as you learn more and more about inferiority and self-esteem. At this time, we're going to go to Dr. June Norneal, and she is going to talk to us about preventing inferiority and low self-esteem. Dr. June Norneal.
Dr. McCoy, greetings to everyone that hears the sound of my voice, and also giving honor to God. I want to continue my topic that I stopped off last week, called Preventing Inferiority and Low Self-Esteem. And as I talked about it last week, I mentioned there were three ways to prevent inferiority and low self-esteem to start in the church. Number one, I said prevention through teaching, and I'm going to touch base on that. A person's self-confidence can depend on human goals and achievements alone. Each person's sense of belonging, worth, and confidence come because we are loved and held by the sovereign Almighty God, who teaches us about sin and divine forgiveness. We got to know right then and for ourselves that God loves us, and he is a God of everlasting love. And even though we fall short sometimes in life, and we will, God forgives us. Everybody falls short. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory in God. But a lot of times we allow ourselves to be recognized and stereotyped by our failures and shortcomings by others. But we just have to know what the Word of God says about us and how to just hold on to the Word of God and have self-confidence in yourself. Number two, I talked about, I'm just touching base on the basic things, provision through Christian community. And the church members should be encouraged to show concern for one another. A lot of times, when we even in our church homes, we have new people who come into our church homes, and they have a lot of gifts, they have abilities, they also have talents to be able to give to the body of Christ. And a lot of times, the enemy will use other people to cause that person to draw back or to feel bad about going forth to what God wants to do with them to build up the kingdom. And a lot of times that person will feel rejected. Even though they have the gift, they have the talent, they have the ability to do things that will cause the kingdom to grow, is the Christian will treat them a certain way, discredit them, won't make them feel welcome, won't make them feel loved. That's another thing that it caused, even in the church, it caused people to have low self-esteem, and we have to stop that as being Christians. And also the third, and I touched base last week, is provision through family guidance. Since many self-esteem problems, we know everything begins at home. And a lot of times, when we send our children off, even being young children, off to school, we can't depend on the school to raise our children. Everything that we do as being adults, it should start and begin at home. That's why children should be girded up. They should be molded and modeled in the make of a Christian home with Christian abilities. And those are the three things that would cause prevention of low self-esteem and inferiority. But the way to stop all that, it is the way to prevent all of that, is by having confidence and having self-confidence in yourself. And then you probably wonder, what is confidence? Confidence indicates a belief in a person or a thing. And self-confidence implies consciousness of one's own power and ability. And so a person that will have self-confidence, that is the tactic, that is the antidote, the answer, one way that it will cause inferiority to be prevented, by having confidence in yourself. But first, you have to know for yourself who you are in Christ. A lot of times, like I said, inferiority begins in the home. And just like the Pastor Castor said, a lot of times it's the beginning with the parent. They start at home. They say damn things to the children. They say things and call them out, telling them you'll never be anything in life. You'll be like your no good daddy or no good mother and stuff. And that sticks to a child, because they all, everybody in this child, they look for that love. They look for that concern. They look for that confidence, the proudness to come from their parent before they get to anybody else or receive from anybody else out there in the world. So self-confidence is one of the ways and one of the key things that will prevent inferiority. And inferiority, like you say, is a persistence of inadequacy or tendency to low self-esteem. That means a person who see themselves, value themselves very low, lower than what they really are. And we know we're in Christ. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of Christ. But if you don't know that, how can you receive that? That's why it's our job as being Christians, our job as being believers and godly people. We have to tell people that, because that's the way God sees them and that's the way they are. And then even to the, even the unbelievers, they don't know that. They don't know the word of God. They don't know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They don't know that they are made in God's image. They only know what they've been told. They only know about what their environment has been exposing to them. So I have a few things that I'm going to tell you that you could do to help you gain your low self-esteem. But we know, like, self-confidence is versus inferiority. It's a complex. They're war against each other. And the more confidence you have in one thing, the less of your inferiority complex would be. Confidence is the main thing, you know, that will cause success to be in a person's life. You know, our habits along with our environment around us are the reason a person feel like that. But we just have to build ourselves up. And I could just even recall an experience that I experienced when I was fifth grade. I'll never forget this, and it comes with me today. But I have overcome that because I know what the Bible say. I can remember my fifth grade teacher. He was the same teacher that my brother had. And I was a real inadequate student. I would say I'm maybe like a C average. But I never forget that teacher told me, he said, "Why are you not smart like your brother?" And I did my best to try to be better than my brother, but I was knowing that I was doing the best that I can. That's all I could do. And I would say, but I still remember that. And I always thought about that. But then when I came into the knowledge of what the word of God say, that I am, that I am more than a conqueror, you know, that I'm made in image and likeness of God. And God, he made me, everything he made was good and very good. When I knew the word of God in the prime of my life, I'm able to not let that hold me back. Now I'm able to walk in confidence in my life and everything based on the word of God, not saying letting people dictate to me and stereotype me what I should be. But that's what happened when and break down people's confidence and cause them to walk in fear, out and low self-esteem when they don't know that. But I'm a conqueror over that now. But I still remember that. But I can see where God has taken me to and since that time when I was in fifth grade to now, and know that God is good, and I know who I am in Christ, and the same for anyone else. And also, the five things that I want to talk about that give you confidence to gain over that low self-esteem is the things that are going to give you confidence. First, anything you have to do, and it could go, this is going to go along with adults as well as children. You have to talk about anything. Learn what your topic is. Learn about things that you're going to be discussing about, and that'll help you speak with confidence. Because when you do that, you'll have a knowledge of what you're speaking about. Because a lot of times, as being an adult, we a lot of times be, you know, be like intimidated or afraid to go before people, stage fright, whatever. Learn more what you're going to talk about. That'll help your confidence because then you have knowledge of what you're speaking. And you could talk bolder then. You won't feel so inadequate. And you'll feel encouraged to do that. Another time, another thing, you just look at yourself. You know what I'm saying? You just keep in mind that, you know, everybody, you know, was born as a child and everybody's prone to make mistakes because a lot of times we allow people to compare us to other people. We may see other people and we compare ourselves to other people, but you have to know that everything that you do, the best of your ability is good. And it could get even greater, but it's not about the other person. It's just being confident in what God had given you to do. Because whatever you are doing and you're doing the best of your ability, no one can present it the way you can present it. And if you know that, then you are molded, made in God's image. No one is like you. You will feel so good about yourself, and you'll be thinking you're trying to be like somebody else, and then in reality, not even knowing, somebody trying to be like you, and we don't have to be like anybody else but be ourselves, because God has made each and every one of us an individual, made his image and likeness with all our own talents and gifts and abilities to glorify God. And if you have another thing I'm saying, if you have fear that you haven't accomplished anything in your life, that a lot of times you can look back in your life and you can see where you are now. Even you could be in your present state of your life and you can see and say, I should be way far more in the position of what I am now. You know, maybe I should have went to college, or maybe it's too late, I didn't go to college, or I should be married, I should own my own home, I should own my own car. Whatever state you may be in now, I mean, it's okay. This is not the end. Don't never look at yourself down that you can't become anything greater than where you are, because you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. And if never feel like you have been defeated and you can't go any further, because and you're not in a position, I don't care where you at, what you have done that you can't be forgiven. Your sin is not so bad that you have to look down on yourself so bad and beat yourself down that you can't be forgiven or you can't accomplish to be anybody great in God, because you can. And will give you more courage and confidence in yourself in the midst of your own situation, in the midst of your own problem. Just walk outside and or either turn on the news. You'll find somebody else in this world is in the lowest state than what you are in. Somebody's in a lower state than what you are in. And that's just to be enough to just give God the praise and give him glory and for his grace extended you that you're not as low as you think you are. And the final point I'm going to give you about self-confidence is to do what the scripture has done. In Psalms 139:14, the Bible say, God say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have to remember that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image and his likeness. Praise God for where you are, what you are, because there's nobody like you. You have all the
abilities, all the talents that God has given you, and then also said to yourself, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And believe me, you can. Without him, you can do nothing, but with him, you can do all things. Praise God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normiel. Yes, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And yes, we are skillfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because we did not make ourselves. It is God who has made us, who has created us, who has made us the men and the women and the boys and the girls that he has, that he designed. It was a designer. It was he, the designer, designed and created us in the way and the likeness that he wanted to design us and make us and create us, and certain talents and certain gifting that only God can give to his people. And he gave them to his people for special reason. You know, maybe somebody else and design a airplane, or somebody else can design a skyscraper. Somebody else may be in a certain area that they can articulate, or they may be a better communicator. They may just be that person that can cook, or that person, which is an important part of our living, because they do great and mighty things. So all of us have different things that we do. Some can do it faster. Some may be a little faster than what they do. But yet there are others that have the same ability to do certain things. And yes, even as I'm listening to Dr. Normiel, we have to be careful what we say about children. We have, as school teachers, or as instructors, as mothers and fathers, we have to be very careful as what we say to people, because we can spark people for life. Even sometimes people have said to their own children that you're not going to be anything, you're not going to go to college, you're too dumb, you're too stupid, and you're going to be just like your dad. So you need not do things like this. You need to think before you speak. And if I believe if we let God lead us and guide us, I believe if we read our scripture, read our word, I believe if we get clarity and get understanding in all the many things that we do and say, we would not say them. I believe that golden rule, they do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. And what we don't want said to us or done to us, then we won't do it to other people as well. Yes, we're talking about the effects of inferiority and low self-esteem. So Dr. Normiel, she let us know about preventing inferiority and low self-esteem. Dr. Castor talked about the Bible and self-esteem. And I'm going to talk to you about the effects of inferiority and low self-esteem. And it is so important that we don't have low self-esteem. Because when we have low self-esteem, we can't rise to the occasion. You may have the ability, but because the enemy is in the back of your mind and speaking into you that you can't do it, maybe somebody has told you that you can't do it. In essence, you're thinking that you can't. It may be your appearance. You know, you may seem in your mind not to look like somebody else. Maybe your hair is short. Maybe your hair may be a little kinky. It may not be straight. Maybe this or that. Or you may be a little shade darker than somebody else. That has nothing to do with your ability. You have to see yourself as being beautiful. You have to see yourself as being wonderfully made. You have to know that what God says about you is more important than anybody else would say about you. So today we want to address that effects of inferiority and low self-esteem. And as we look into this, we know that there are many sermons and commencement addresses that have been filled with inspiring stories of people who face handicaps they had great obstacles in their lives, but with an unflinching determination, they rose to overcome the deficiencies in their lives. Whatever deficit they have, whatever thing that they encounter, they rose to overcome it. They move in whatever they thought that they knew in their mind that they could do. Somebody else say that they couldn't, but something on the inside that God put on the inside for his people that they can go forward, they can move forward. Do you not remember when Abraham Lincoln, when he ran for public office, Lincoln, he lost it. He didn't win. But he didn't stop at because he lost. He was persistent until he became the president of the United States. So here it tells us that we cannot stop. We can let no one dictate to us to tell us that we can't do a certain thing. Yes, sometimes it does feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it seems like that maybe I can't. But when God tells you that you can, and you have that inner motivator on the inside, and when you know who you are, then you can do any and you can do everything. Now, when you look at Theodore Roosevelt, he was nearsighted. And this man was a sickly child. Think of it. He's nearsighted. He was sickly. But he learned in order to overcome some of the obstacles, some of the things that he went through, and he decided that he'll learn how to do horseback riding and in order to toughen him up. Sometimes we have to do certain things in our lives to make us more confident, to know that we can do it. Giving up is not the answer. Looking to others is not the answer, but looking to God is what we need to do in order to be sustained, in order to go forward. I believe the president was saying that we're going forward. I believe that the word of God let us know more than we can ever imagine what man may say. We got to be able to look forward in our walk with God, not going back, not regressing, but we have to go forward in the things of God. So therefore, he found that I'm going to take some horseback lessons. I'm going to learn how to ride. He was able to toughen himself up. And then we find that Theodore Roosevelt, we find that he overcame the effects of polio. You know, there are things sometimes that, yes, they can be a little bit tough sometimes, but don't ever let anything cause you to quit, because that is what the enemy wants to do in many of your lives. They want you to give up and quit. Yes, sometimes you may have to shed a tear. Sometimes you have to just meditate and get before God many a time. But you giving up should not be in your vocabulary. Stopping what God has given you should not be in your vocabulary. The Bible says that I can do all things, listen to me, that I can do all things, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. So even these men, I don't know what their religious take was, how religious they were, how they had dedicated themselves to God. But they had something on the inside that kept them from giving up and caving in. When you look at Helen Keller, that's another woman that could not even see. She couldn't see, she could not hear, but she learned to communicate. How easy we want to give up. How easy when we have things that that we seem to affect our lives that we want to give up. We're talking about a person, Helen Keller, who could not see and she could not hear, but she learned how to communicate. There's nothing that we cannot do. There's nothing that will stop us if we just put it in the hands of God Almighty. So we can just trust and lean in God and lean not to our own understanding. And when we look at Winston Churchill, this man, he failed in school. But he, the same man, he became a great statesman and a communicator. Somebody said, but I can't communicate. I don't speak well. I don't talk well. You know, these are some of the same things that Moses said when God was about to elevate him, when God was about to take him to the Pharaoh to be able to speak unto Pharaoh, to be able to tell him to let my people go. Yes, God could have called anybody to do certain things. Yes, he could have called somebody with a PhD. He could have called somebody with a master's degree. He could have called somebody with their bachelor's. Oh, yes, he could have called so many people that maybe they were 6 feet tall. But yet, no, he called who he wanted to call and to use. So, therefore, I thank God that sometimes it seems like you're failing in some areas of your life, and it causes you to, the enemy wants you to have a low self-esteem, but don't buy it. You do all that you can. You are not someone that's going to continue to fail. All of us have not reached our accomplishment in life the first time, maybe not be the second time. It may not even be the 10th time, but yet we did not give up. So therefore, you cannot give up. I'm talking to somebody today that knows that they have been through some trials and been through some things in their life. Somebody may be even crying at the point of giving up. But you have to be more determined. Don't give up. Don't give up. The same God that gave Winston Churchill the ability to pursue what he was going through and became this great statesman and communicator, then you too can do it. Moses didn't want to do it because he couldn't talk very well. You know, certain excuses that sometimes we will let the enemy use us and to keep us from doing all that we can. But let me say today, let's put remember mark this day down and remember this day that this is the last day that I'm going to put myself down, the last day that I'm going to let the enemy rule me and to tell me what I can't do, because I can do all things through Christ. And it's not the pride that you're in, it's with the ability that God has given you. When the devil trying to talk you out of your blessing, when the devil is trying to come to you and to make you feel less than, then you have to know who you are. Listen, okay, if there are many people have gone through difficult experience in their life, but sometimes they had to push them aside. They had to overcome their inferiority, the things that they've gone through. Insecure men. I'm going to tell you about people that are insecure. Men who act tough. Have you ever seen a person that they act so tough and they can talk so this way and that way and try to make you feel inferior? They are people that sometimes from a poor environment. They are people who go into debt, they can't buy the big cars or wear flashy tight clothes. Okay, there are some people that want to make themselves. I'm not talking about you that are struggling in different areas of your life and the enemy trying to shut you down and shut you off, but I'm talking to people that sometimes try to push you and try to make you feel less than. I'm talking about people that want to make themselves. Sometimes you look at people and you say, why is this person trying to act so tough? You know, why are they acting this way? Sometimes it's their mentality. You know, they want to appear that way. They want to appear that they can do this and they can do that, and I can wear this and I can wear the flashy clothes. I can drive this nice car, because they want you to think. Sometimes they think less of themselves, but you have to know who you are. The number one thing is knowing who you are. You're not just a person that God has put upon this earth to exist, but God wants you to do more than to exist. And then when we look at, you know, there are some people that are frustrated. They are frustrated workers who, you may be on a job, and you've seen these people on your job. They're frustrated, who stage a violent strike that gives them power over company management. They want to be more. You ever seen people want to be more than they are, you know, being more than they are? Well, sometimes you can see that these people, sometimes they have a problem, and they really need some help. They need people to come in to give them, to let them understand themselves, and let show them what kind of temperament that they have and how to deal with that temperament, how to deal with themselves, and how to get along with other people, and how to be considerate to other people as well. Some of them, they have a poor education, people that who may use big words to try to show, to impress people. You know, they may try to make people think that, you know, that you have it, that I'm educated, I do know some things, but you still have to know who you are, and you have to be it, whatever you are, you be it for the Lord God Almighty. Whatever you want to be in life, you got to know that you can do it. You can do all things. Somebody told me one time that I wasn't going to be this or that because they could see God in my God using me for certain things, and I was standing up for the word of God, but because the enemy didn't like it, he tried to make me feel less than, not capable of doing things. But God had a plan for my life, and he still has a plan for my life. You ever seen somebody would try to put people down, the talk things or say things, and some of these people will be people in your family, and some people that don't understand you. But yet you got to know who you are and what God has called you to be. Then we find that there are people that they are inferior. They have this inferiority problem by overreacting over things, and they're doing things that it seems out of the ordinary. Okay, people with inferiority, they may feel isolated and unlovable. And we need to address that. We need to talk about that, because we don't want people, and that's why we're doing this broadcast. You know, the devil is moving any way, any place that he can in order for a person to be put down or feel incapable or unreliable or not intelligent. Your aptitude is not where it should be. So this is what you need to know. People with inferiority, they may feel isolated and unlovable. I know you've been there. I know that you have felt that at times in your life when you didn't feel that people really love you. You know, you may be around a group of people, and they may be dressed well, and they may be educated. They may be on this. They may be on this committee or that committee, but yet it made you feel like you're less than, that you're not a part of them. But you got to know that you are what God made you to be. And yes, you can do all the things that you want to do, if you put God first. And then it tells when we have to understand this, and we see that sometimes the person with inferiority, they even may feel too weak to overcome their deficiencies and like the drive of motivation to defend themselves. I mean, that's when a person gets them pushed down. When people they have already kind of kicked them down, and they lose that drive, they lose that motivation to do better. And that's when it's so important for a parent not to put their children down. A best friend, don't put your friend down. Somebody in your home, don't put them down. Somebody on your job, don't put them down. Somebody in your church, don't put them down. But be able to motivate them. And the same way that God has given us life and given us the ability to do certain things, that same God is able and capable of doing great things in other people's lives as well. Then you find that people, they're angry, they're afraid of others by drawing attention to themselves. They have difficulty getting along with other people. And it's so many things that we can think about this afternoon, so many things that we can address this afternoon. Just how you wonder why people don't get along with other people. They have a problem. They're dealing with things that need to be addressed. And sometimes we push them aside, and sometimes we call them names, and sometimes we try to label them because of the fact they may be not like you. Thank God they're not like you. Thank God that God made them the way that God made them and the way that God created them. So I thank God, you know, I only want to be like Christ Jesus. I thank God for letting me be like him, not what somebody else wants me to be, but be the way that God has made me and created me. They created me, and that's the same way that you ought to be, the way like Jesus. If you want to be like anybody, you ought to want to be like Jesus, and that's the person that I want to be like. And if he say I can do it, then I can do it. And then it says with people that have an inferiority, sometimes they're submissive, dependent. They're sensitive, their feelings are hurt easily. These people, they are damaged. They have gone through a lot in their lives. You know, I know that we're gonna have to actually come to a conclusion, but it's broadcast, but there's so many things that you may see these things that they are manifesting in your lives, that when you feel like, you know, you're under somebody, it's good to be submissive, but I'm saying to you that you can't do it. You got to depend on everybody else to do what God has already given you to do. And you don't have to be so sensitive anymore as well. You don't have to be sensitive wherein that everything bothers you, that everything that you think somebody is talking about you and all of this. We need to, that's what we want to address today, because we want you to be healthy and we want you to be strong. We want you to go places in God and discover things like you never discovered them before. Somebody have gone to London, England. Somebody have traveled to the other part of the earth, and yet you saying that, well, I'll never get there. I'm never gonna go there. Oh, you can get there. You can go there. You can be all that God will have you to be. So what I'm saying to you today is prevalent. It needs to be addressed. People need to know that they can, that I can. You got to have that I can mentality. Oh, what I'm going to do today, because I feel a stirring in my spirit here, because I feel that it's more for you to know. But we're going to put a pin here today, and we're going to. I'm going on my discussion on Monday. I'm going to pick up where I left off, and the other counselors, they're going to be starting a new topic. But I want to finish this because I believe that there are hurting people out there. There are people that need to be built up. We need to learn how to build one another up. First of all, we'd like to thank the Christian counselors for being with us on today, Dr. Northfield, Dr. Capster, and for all of the listeners that are listening here today, we want you to be whole, and we want you to know that God loves you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We lift your name up high. God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And Father, today, God, we believe that healing is being made fast, that Father, in the lives of many, God, that they're being filled up, God, they're being stirred. They're doing that I do, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. God, whether they've been hurt, God, whether they've been put down, God, whether they've been put aside, God. Oh, Father, we ask thee in the name of Jesus, God, to touch these people, God, even right now. God, don't let them continue to hurt. Don't let it be, God, because of the way that they think they look. God, it's not because of their evil or all of their sin or, God, what they have been from a child that the enemy has called them, God, to not to know who they are. But, Father, God, even this day, God, to strengthen them, to give them what they need this day and this hour. And, Lord, we just so thank you, Lord God. Lord, those that are sick, we pray your healing power. God, go to the night. Save them because, God, you're able to save to the uppermost. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for what you have done and what you're about to do, God, in the name of Jesus. And this we will glorify and we will praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Until Monday, next Monday, at the same time, please join us on the Crossroads broadcast with Dr. Mary McCoy and our panelists. May God be with you. May the blessing of God be upon you now and forever. In Jesus' name.